I told you this morning that God has been speaking to me and just rehearsing several things in my life as to some of the things He has taught me through the years, and been really speaking to my heart about preaching some of those things or just relaying them to you. And I told you that this morning, and I walked out of here and I thought, what are they? Oh God, You got to bring them back to my mind. And several are on the mind, but He brought several back. And I want to share with you some of those. But look here with me in Philippians chapter 4. I want to read verses 10 through 19 because there's a phrase here that I like for us to notice, plus a couple of things I've learned right out of these verses. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again into my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Let's pray tonight. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the many wondrous, beautiful phrases, promises that You have here in these that we have read tonight. Lord, I pray that You would speak to our hearts this evening. I pray, O God, that You might bless and work in our hearts for Jesus' sake. I pray. Amen. Please go ahead, be seated. This scripture was chosen tonight because of a phrase that is in the verses that I read. I want you to notice in verse number 11, it says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned." I have learned. I hope that there is something that you have been doing and have done throughout your lifetime, and that is to learn. "For I have learned." Learning ought to be a lifetime process. I believe it ought never to cease nor to slow down. My fear is that a great many old folks think they have come to know it all, when in fact they need to still be learning. God has some wondrous truths. I believe in my 60s God has given me greater truths than I ever knew before. If God were to grant me 70s, I believe there are even more wondrous truths that are available to me that God wants to share. I believe throughout eternity we're going to have a learning process as we discover more and more about our wondrous God. With this in mind, I want to just share with you some of the lessons that I have learned. This is not an exhaustive list, for we would be here all night, and I don't believe my mind would go that far in recollection. But I'd like to share some things that I've learned. Some of these are based right in the text that we have before us tonight. Some of these I am still learning. For I believe that we learn lessons and then have to relearn them, do we not? I believe that learning lessons are not only that which goes into the mind, but that which goes into the mind and becomes a process of life for us. So let me just share some of these. I've labeled them a potpourri of things that I have learned, because not necessarily are they related one to another. Number one tonight in my list, and by no means are they from more important to most important, though the last two in my own heart that I will share with you tonight, I believe, are the most important as far as I am concerned. First of all, tonight I'd like to share this with you. Faith, I do not believe, can grow apart from learning. In the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, referred to this morning in our Sunday school lesson by Sean, the Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." You and I tonight will never be able to have our faith grow if we do not know some things about God. For faith really is knowledge of what God wants to do in our lives. It's knowing His expectations, his business, and simply believing it to be the truth. Faith will never grow, I don't believe, without learning. Thus, we need to constantly be allowing God to teach us from His Word. The Christian who does not pick up his Bible on a daily basis, read from it, and learn from it, their faith, I don't believe, is going to grow. Many folks are spiritual pygmies because they do not allow the mind to be expanded and then allow their faith and their belief and their trust in the God who gave it to them to also be expanded. A second thing I would like to share, and it really comes from our text tonight, and that is trust God for finances. Trust God to take care of us in all the things that take place in our lives. It's been an exciting thing to hear Mr. Brown on Sunday mornings when the offering plate is passed and to shout amen or hallelujah or whatever. And he is excited because he can give to God. Matter of fact, that wouldn't be a bad idea for more of us to get involved with. That would shake up some folks, amen? But I find something that God is in the business of taking care of us. I believe that our trust really is demonstrated when we are willing to give. When we're willing to tithe of what God has given us and willing above that tithe to give to God offerings. I believe tonight that as we trust God in our finances and we give to Him, God then demonstrates His pleasure in that by the outpouring of His Spirit. I shared last night with our prayer group, I believe there's perhaps what we might call three levels in our walk with the Spirit. It's not my intention tonight to preach on this or even to really get into it, but I leave level number one, if we could describe it that way, is when we, by faith, receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and the Spirit of God indwells us. We find also that the Spirit of God wants to fill us, and the Bible tells us that we are to be filled with the Spirit. And you and I will be filled with the Spirit as we yield ourselves to Him. But I believe also we find that God wants to pour out His Spirit upon us and to do some things that only God can do. And when you read the book of Malachi, it's interesting what God says concerning what I believe is an outpouring of the Spirit. He says, "Will a man rob God?" in Malachi 3:8. The Bible says, "Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" And God gives the answer in tithes and offerings. "You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." By the way, when we don't give to God what is His, all we're doing is saying, "God, by the lack of my offering, I am asking you for your curse upon my finances." That's really what we're asking for. He says, "Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now, often we think, well, we give, God is going to take care of us financially. I believe that is true. But I believe also in that verse, it is teaching us that God wants to pour out His Spirit upon us in a marvelous, wondrous way. Trust God for our finances. I have learned when I do that and I give to God in demonstration of that trust, God takes care of me. I have His promise in it. If you will notice something in our text tonight, in verse number 19, he says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Did you notice the context that we read tonight? It is in context with these people in Philippi giving missions offering unto the Apostle Paul that he might take the gospel to the regions beyond. And God is saying to these people, "Because you have given, I will supply your need." That which you have opened up in your life, that which you took that you needed, that you gave for the supply of the missionaries, I will supply that to you. By the way, that is the object of what we call faith promise missionary giving. Trust God for your finances. That has been a lesson that God has taught me. Be content. Number three, be content with what God gives you, but never be satisfied with what you do for God. Please listen to that. Be content with what God gives you. Is that not in our Scripture tonight? Did not Paul say, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content? Did he not say in that verse, I have learned that? To be content. Be content with what God gives you, what He brings into your life, but never be content with what you do for God, for we can always do greater for the Lord. Is that not true? He is well deserving of it. Number four, and I mentioned this morning in way of introduction, enjoy the trip as much as the destination. Boy, have I had to learn that in trips that I have taken. And I used to dread those trips. I hated the trips. And there were times I hated the countryside that I went through. But God has helped me to realize, hey, there is enjoyment in the trip. There's a little phrase, stop and smell the roses along the way. You know, and boy, I tell you, there's a lot of roses when we're willing to stop and to look at it. Think about it tonight, because, you know, the trip that God has given us is called life, and the destination is heaven. We learn to enjoy the trip, we might be enjoying life. You know, if you take a vacation, as I did last week, and you spend 2 days on the trip, and you say those are wasted days, you just gave up part of your vacation. Isn't that not true? So enjoy the trip as you're taking it, not necessarily just looking forward to the destination. Another thought that comes to my mind that God has given me through the years, and just something I believe Christians in general, we need to learn, and that is take it as it comes. Very simply stated, take it as it comes. You know, we ought to plan things, and planning is a wonderful thing. But you need to also be ready for those plans to be broken. I'll guarantee you someone or something is going to mess it up. It's just the way of life. And not everybody is going to go according to your plans. You know, there are some folks, they are control freaks. They want to control every situation round about them. But if you've noticed something, if you come into contact with another control freak, it's going to be a very freakish nightmare that you're going to be discovering in your life. Just take it as it comes. You know, God has many wonderful places along life's road that He has scheduled for us that was not necessarily in our schedule. And those sometimes can be the most wonderful experiences of life. Just take it as it comes. It takes away all the frustration. Amen? Another truth, and number six on my list tonight. Don't worry, they're fairly short list tonight. I only got 13. It's not what you do. You've heard me say this often. It's not what you do, but who you do it with. Isn't it wonderful that God gives us friends? Isn't it wonderful God gives us families? Isn't it wonderful God gives us people to enjoy life with? And it's not so much what we do. It's who we do it with. You know, it really doesn't matter where I go or what I do. It's so much more great that I have the privilege to share it with somebody. Tonight as we gathered for prayer and tonight a little bit differently and gathered with husbands and wives and my wife and I, we sat and we prayed together. And I was thinking about the last 44 years that we've had the privilege to share so many wonderful things together. And often... especially in recent days, we get together and we pray and we ask God to work in our hearts and to work in the lives of others. And those moments have been wonderful. Some of those moments have been spent in the hospital. Some of those moments has been spent, in things that were not necessarily pleasurable, but all the lessons that God has given us through those things. I remember in 1995, and what God had done both in her life and mine physically, and not necessarily a great summer as far as the world would say. And yet it was one of the greatest times in our life as we experienced the blessing of God in the midst of what seemed like tragedy. It's not about what you do, but who you do it with. Number seven. Some of you are going to be very surprised at these two words. Hug more. Hug more. If there's something I regret as my children were growing, is not hugging more. I was told tonight that in family devotions I made them hug. I don't remember that. I remember when they were naughty one to another, that sometimes I would make them hug. One time I was really nasty. It had to take place in the lobby of the church. And I'm not sure my sons have ever forgiven me of that one. I hope that they do someday before I die. I'm not sure who the other one was, but I'm sure I know who one of them was. Because he was always in trouble. Is that not true? But hug more. Amen. Several years ago, I came back from a conference, and we were told, and at that time, it was very dangerous. It still is. And David Gibbs had a conference, and he said, "Pastors, you need to be very careful. You need to teach your people to quit hugging the kids." And I came back, and I did that, and I had some rebellion on my hands. One of them sitting right in front of me, she's wearing a red shirt. And she basically said to me, "I don't care what you say, I'm still going to do it." Bless your heart, you were right, Roseanne. I believe that that's something that is needed. We need to show our affection more than we do. And I just say that tonight. I've been learning that one, still in the process of it. Number 8, this may surprise you. Trust people to make them trustworthy. It's amazing when we put our trust in somebody and they know it, they begin to live up to it. If we give to our children an untrustworthy manner and we say to them basically, "I don't trust anything you do," they're going to live up to it. But when we show trust in them, it's amazing they will live up to it. You say, "Well, they don't deserve it." That's why it's called grace. That God gives to you and to me. And it's a wonderful tool if we would learn to use that. Trust people to make them trustworthy. We could probably put several other words into that particular thought and be just as true. Number 9 in my list, love is a one-way street. Love is never for the purpose of receiving. It's always for the purpose of giving. Love is a one-way street. But listen to this. It goes in circles. Love is a one-way street that goes in circles. Love is always that which is outflowing, but it always has a way of coming back around to us. We don't do it for the purpose of receiving, but it always seems to do that. Lust is always seeking to gather in, but it's a black hole where everything is lost. I suppose I could take that right back to trusting God for finances and giving to Him. But love is a one-way street, and it goes in circles. Number 10 on my list tonight is this: speak, and you'll always speak to everyone. Speak, and you'll always speak to everyone. If you wait for the other to speak to you, I will guarantee you tonight, you're going to be ignored a lot. I've heard folks say, "I went to such and such a church and nobody spoke to me." Well, what did you do? Why are we critical of the other when we didn't do what needed to be done? Matter of fact, God may have taken us to that church to help show them something and to help them understand that people are important. Speak first and you'll speak to everybody. Number 11 in my list is graciousness removes barriers between people. That's a word that's come to mean a great deal to me in recent days and weeks and really years. That word gracious. It means to be working in the realm of grace. Having that kind of personality, that kind of being that lets people know that you care for them. It's amazing the barriers that come down. It is amazing that folks have built walls up, but when we show them love, when we show them grace, and we let them know, hey, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are or what you are, I still care for you. That's a very important thing. I watched this week as I was up in the Dakotas there to Mount Rushmore, especially in people's going by. There's a certain group of folks that I've always had a draw to. And it's motorcycle people. Not because I'd like to have one again. By the way, I've given that idea up. I think a Corvette would work better. I'm out of my mind for both of them. But my wife might go with me. I told her that this week, and she says, I don't think so. I don't think I can get in. I said, honey, you can get in. You can just fall in. It's getting out that might be the problem. And we might be stuck there a long time. But I've always had this for many years for these people. And a lot of times they look so much different, especially the outlaw groups. And sometimes they act a lot different. But you know what? They're people just like all of us. And though they may not act the same and may not look the same, they're people. And we need to be gracious to people. Sometimes we look at folks and we think, oh, yuck. I'm glad Jesus never looked at me that way. Amen. The last two things are the top of my priority list of learning. There's something that I'm still learning. Matter of fact, all of these are. The Holy Spirit is who is needed to understand God's Word. Not a Greek or a Hebrew professor. I need tonight the Spirit of God to lead me in my study and understanding of the Word of God. He's the teacher. Many years ago, I came to the conclusion that God had given us the Bible, inspired it. And secondly, God not only had inspired it, but He preserved it. With that understanding, with that thrill in my soul, I realized that the Bible I have is not only completely from God and completely preserved by God, but I can pick up this book in the English language and I can read it. And by the Spirit of God, I can understand what He wants me to understand. That's been one of the great thrills of my life. And I'm so thankful for that particular thing coming in my soul. But lastly, and very importantly, a lesson I'm still learning yet today, and that is that Spirit-filled living is possible. To live in the power of the Spirit of God is possible. For most of my saved life, I believe it was possible for others. And I thought that, you know, the super spiritual, and some with great intestinal fortitude, and those who had that right kind of character perhaps could live that. But I was wrong in that assumption. For it is the Spirit of God that gives us those things. And I can live in the power of the Spirit of God. If I am willing to yield myself to Him, He is willing to fill me and to lead me and to guide me. I've also learned that that does not mean that life will be easier. Many times it will be more difficult. The problems and the persecutions that come to us may grow extensively, but God is with it through it all. The testimony Roseanne gave tonight was really a glorious testimony in that very light. For no matter what is going on in our life, the Spirit of God can give us the fruit of the Spirit, one of which is joy, another which is love, another which is peace. And what a wondrous God we have tonight. Amen. Oh, we ought to be learning all the time. Paul said, I have learned. I have learned. Not only are we to learn, but sometimes we have to relearn, do we not? Sometimes we forget those things that God has given us, and so He's got to take us through it again that we might relearn it. But I'm so glad that He's patient to do exactly that. He's the great teacher. To draw us to His sign, to teach us that we might grow in Him. If you were here tonight, what could you say? What kind of things have you learned in your life? If I would extend this message, what are the other things that I have learned? What is it that God's doing in your heart right now? What is it He wants to teach you? Maybe yet today or maybe tomorrow, I believe that there is something He wants to do. I believe that is there. Are we willing to learn from the Savior? Are we willing to open our ears? I was thinking this week and almost preached on the text that speaks of the four different kinds of soil and how we listen. It's amazing that oftentimes we're not listening to God. Sometimes we listen and it just kind of bounces away. And sometimes we hear what we want to hear and discard the rest. But God wants to teach us. And He's the great teacher. Are you listening? Are you letting Him do that in your life? He says, for I have learned. I have learned. If after you've been saved a while, you cannot declare that, let's start today and let God teach us. Amen. This world is wide open. He's given us two great books. One of them is His book of creation that some people would call nature. I have a problem with calling it Mother Nature when God created it. But it's the great book of His creation and all the things that are out there that we can study and behold. I know that God wants us to study Him because He says, go to the ant and learn of her ways. I know He wants us to look at those things because He tells us that the devil, as a roaring lion, stalketh about seeking who may devour. We used to have cats in our home until we've got family now that are allergic to them, and some of you are. My wife will be upset with me if I say it this way. But I learned a lot about the devil watching the cats. I don't believe they're demon-filled. But just watching how they would sock their prey. God wants us to learn things. And so there's that whole great book of His creation. We send our kids to school and say, boy, learn all these wonderful facts, and then we don't ourselves. Be people who read and gain those things, not just to learn them, but to make application, to see what God wants us to gain from that. And then, of course, there's this great book we call the Bible. Read it. Let God teach you from it. Amen. Father, tonight, thank You. Thank You for the things that You have given us. Lord, thank You for those lessons, those wonderful, glorious things that You have taught us. Lord, how wondrous it is. When I think back to the day I was saved and what a mess I was in. Lord, I believe in comparison to You, I'm still that mess. But You have changed so many things. Lord, You have set my feet upon a solid rock. You've given me stability in my life, and You've taught me wonderful things about Yourself. You've trained me through the years to learn to be dependent upon You. And Lord, though I'm still learning that, I thank You for the lessons You've given me. Lord, I'm thankful for the many wonderful truths that You have given to me as Holy Spirit of God, You've been so wondrous to point those out and to apply them to my life. Thank You for the great book of creation as we look round about us and we see Your wondrous handiwork. We see Your glory. We see Your magnificence. We can also make wonderful applications from Your Word as we behold this great creation of Yours. And Lord, we thank You for that wonderful knowledge. But most of all, Lord, tonight, I want to thank You that You showed to me salvation. And that I learned that for by grace are You saved through faith and that not of myself. That You allowed me to believe in the glorious Savior and have my sins forgiven. Lord, that I have a place in heaven because of that. And I pray, Father, if there be one in our midst tonight that has not been true of their life, it would be a truth that they might come to learn this evening. And Lord, that we might have our minds and our hearts open to all that You want to give to us. Oh God, let us not close our minds. Let us not fill them with empty things, but allow You to teach us glorious, wonderful truth. Oh God, make us learners of You. Bless and work in our hearts and our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.